Hi, welcome to Second Wind Women. I am here with Tabitha Jones. Tabitha is the executive coach and outplacement specialist that people call when their career stops fitting and they can't ignore it anymore. After decades leading high-performance teams, she rebuilt her entire career at 50, less of a cute pivot and more of a full-on reinvention. Now, as the corporate escape Sherpa, she helps leaders design their next chapter using sharp transition strategy and AI-powered tools so they move faster and with more confidence. Her style is bold and practical, supporting both trailblazers who leave and the leaders who stay. So the next act is chosen on purpose, not out of fear. So welcome, Tabitha.
Thank you, Karen. I'm excited to be here today.
Great. Me too. Let's talk. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, maybe an overview of where you started out, what caused you to make this pivot, and then how you ended up being the corporate escape Sherpa?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. So I spent more than 30 years in the corporate world doing what I thought I was supposed to do, right? Climbing the ladder, building this great career. Loved my job until I didn't. So I will say that out loud. Absolutely loved what I was doing. I spent about 20 years leading technical teams in the telecom industry. And a big part of my story was that in the early years of that leadership career, you know, I'd started answering phones in a call center, kind of moving up into different departments. I landed in project management for the information services department. Loved it. Did everything I could to just show that I was an amazing employee and that I was someone worthy of a promotion, and just assumed that, you know, somebody else was taking control of my career and would just magically promote me one day when the time was right. And after staying in that role for 10 years, leading some of the largest projects ever in the industry, leading with a project management title, three separate teams of people, finished earning my degree, doing all the things, I wasn't magically promoted. Instead, we went through a reorg, which happens a lot in the tech and telecom industry. And during that reorg, I was told I needed to reapply for my job if I wanted to stay. And I know, so much fun. So I pulled out the job postings and I started looking at them and realized I was already doing the majority of the job ahead of me. So I thought, why would I apply for a project manager role? I'll just apply for the manager role. Interviewed for it. And again, 10 years as a project manager, already doing 75% of the manager's job. I was offered the promotion with a big fat 4% pay increase. And that was the day I was like, I'm doing it wrong. Sister, pull it together. You are doing this wrong. Stop letting someone else drive your career. Stop expecting it. I turned that down and was just like, screw this, I'm leaving. And I don't even care. I'll figure it out. Within 15 minutes, I was pulled into the CFO's office and she asked, what will it take to make this offer more palatable? Then she proceeded to tell me all of my value and why they wanted me in this role and all these great things. And I was sitting there thinking, oh, okay, I've missed the boat. And I should be telling her these things instead.
Yeah.
When I left that room, I left with a 19% pay increase, a senior manager title.
Four. You said four, right. And I'm like, I'm not going to pretend to be impressed. Four is normal.
Four was not the only F word I said that day. You can count on that. So it was a day. And from there, I just really took the things that I learned from that experience, and I used it to then earn four promotions over the next 10 years. So really recognize the need for myself as a woman, as a female leader in the corporate world, to get better about speaking up for myself, better at advocating for myself, and taking that and really using it to help my employees, to help my peers, and found that I just really loved coaching. So we'll fast forward to 2019. Well, we'll go back a little bit earlier than that. 2018, I was sitting in a leadership conference and this voice, this little whisper was like, why aren't you leading this? What are you doing here? And, you know, pushing that down, that imposter syndrome and all those things about why I wasn't ready for that and all the reasons these women were better positioned for it. By the time I left that conference, there was literally a scream in the back of my head saying, get yourself together, figure out what it takes and start building the business that is really what you want to be doing. So I did. I went home, I hired a business coach, I started building my coaching practice alongside my corporate job. It was hard. I get asked all the time, how's that even possible? It's like, it was possible. I mean, I had to make some sacrifices, maybe play a little less Candy Crush, but start building this business. And in 2019, we went through a really interesting reorg. I realized very quickly in that early part of 2020 that I just was not in a great space. It really was not working for me. And I thought, I already built a business. I could just leave. But we all know what happened in 2020. Yes. So let's talk about 2020, right? Yeah. So I thought, well, you know what I'll do? I'll sit here. I'll get my team positioned. I'll keep building my business. And at that time, I was coaching women. I had figured out midlife women were the people I wanted to work with and a few lucky men. And then really helping them with career advancement and job search, leadership, so that they could achieve the career goals that they wanted. So 2021, I gave 3 weeks notice. My last day at the company was April 2nd, which was a fabulous day. And I have not looked back. One thing that I did do in 2024, at the end of 2024, was really look and realize where I was having the most fun and where I was happiest. And I realized it was in coaching women to build their business, specifically coaching or consulting businesses, while they were still collecting their corporate paycheck so that they could do what I do. And that's how the corporate escape Sherpa came about.
I see. I love it that your requirement was what's the most fun?
Yeah.
It's so rarely, it's more typically, I think it's more like, I can do this, I can do that, but what's the most fun? That's amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Absolutely. And careers are great. I love when I can help a woman just build that confidence to get in an interview for a job and crush it and get that promotion. But what has been fun is seeing just the light come on for women who are our age. I'm 55 now, but that light that says, oh my gosh, I don't have to work at this desk until I die. I can start building something I love that I'm inspired by, that I'm passionate about. At the same time, again, yes, it will be hard. We get to choose our hard sometimes. Yeah. It'll be hard, but it's so rewarding. And when they choose to leave their corporate jobs, they've already got the entire foundation built. They've already got clients in the queue. They've already managed their finances and done all of those really important pieces that, you know, a lot of times aren't cared for in the same way. So it's really rewarding.
That's amazing. So what do you find that people most often overlook when they come from the corporate world and they're, you know, envisioning their life as an entrepreneur?
It is really easy to get sucked into the Instagram reels of that cute lady sitting on the beach in her chair with her laptop saying she works 3 hours a day and makes $1 million.
Yeah.
So what I would say is the most surprising is getting out and realizing how much things cost and how different it is from corporate. There's not someone necessarily doing your marketing or your sales or your tech or I wish I had someone just managing all
collecting
the paperwork.
Collecting invoices.
Those, yeah. Automated systems even cannot always help with that.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's the most surprising. And, you know, again, being in a place of we get to do the work we love, sometimes that comes with working longer days. The best part of it for me, and I share this with clients, is I get an idea at 10 at night and I'm not like, oh gosh, I'm never going to be able to sleep until I get this idea out of my head. I'll get up and go do something because I don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to go start my next day.
Yeah.
So I'd say those are the biggest surprises.
Okay. So one of the things I think that I've seen is a challenge for people who are moving from corporate into their own entrepreneurial, you know, company is that in corporate, kind of your authority is baked in. But when you're an entrepreneur, you have to create that trust and authority for yourself. How do you help people, you know, move towards that?
It is definitely kind of an identity shift because, you know, I take it to my own story, right? I was pretty high up there. People were listening to me. They didn't really have a choice. And now I'm like, wait, is this thing even on? You know, tapping my microphone some days. What I teach people, and I have a group membership, we just talked about this last week, is finding the platform that you're most comfortable on and starting there. And consistency is huge. It's really easy to do something, you know, 3 times and then this isn't working. I'm going to go try something else.
Yeah.
In the entrepreneurial world, 3 times is not enough. People have to get to know you, like you, and trust you. Most of your clients aren't going to be family and friends and people who know you. They're going to be strangers that you've turned into really healthy relationships. And I hear, you know, from people, I don't want to be on social media all day. I'm like, well, then don't. You don't have to. There's no requirement. I mean, it's a tool and it's handy, but it can be a burnout. So what do you like to do? Well, I like to talk on podcasts. I love podcasts. Well, great. Let's get you into some podcasts. Let's go have conversations that way. I am an extrovert. I want to be in the room with people. Well, great. Let's go find conferences where your people are hanging out and get you ready with a strong pitch right. So that when you talk to people and introduce yourself, it's very clear. We've got to find the thing that fits. And sometimes that takes a little bit of time. In corporate, we had meetings. We knew who we were going to see, where we were going to be, what we were going right. to do. It feels a little different on the, on the outside, out here in the wild. But you definitely have to find the opportunities and the strategies that work for you based on your personality and how your energy comes across the best.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a tendency nowadays, especially with, you know, these tools where you can make one post and post it on all the things. And then, you know, all this pressure, like, oh, you should post, you know, two or three times a day. I don't know how these people are working and doing other things. So I really appreciate what you're saying. like pick your channel and stay with it for like 6 months, right?
Exactly. And if it's social media, great. Find the one. Mm-hmm. I started out in Facebook. It was comfortable. It was convenient. Turned out that's not really where people were looking for me. They were looking for me on LinkedIn. So I popped over there and then had this weird little pull. Okay, you need to do a little more on Instagram. And I was exhausted at the end of 2 weeks. I'm like, why am I so tired?
Yeah.
And it's because you can't necessarily just repurpose from LinkedIn to Instagram. Things are different.
Very different platform.
You know, it's a whole different situation. So really just finding that lane that you're happy in. One day you can expand. One day you'll hire help that will do it for you. But right. early on, you don't want to burn out on all of those different things and different options.
Yeah. Do you work more with women from particular industries or just corporate? I mean, because corporate's pretty vast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. Message using corporate language. But right now in my group membership, I have a handful of nurses who are transitioning into their coaching businesses. I have someone from the tech industry. I have someone, I think she's in the education industry. So not necessarily just corporate. Really, it's women who are wanting to be leaders in their own businesses and specifically coaching or consulting businesses.
Okay.
Where they come from, we can translate that and make it work. But yeah, it's really interesting when people hear the right message and they think, oh, and I've had someone say, do you work with nurses? I'm like, if you're the right fit, let's have a chat about it and find out, which is how right. we got such a great group in the community.
Right. So how did your, sometimes I feel like, have you ever seen the interview where they are interviewing a male actor and an actress and they change the questions?
I haven't.
There's an amazing interview where there's a male actor and a female actress, and they change the questions. And so they're asking the male actor, like, how do you stay in shape? What does your family think about the blah, blah, blah? Do you get to spend time with your kids? Mm-hmm. Right. And then they ask the female actress, like, who are the other people you competed for this role? You know, how is it working with this director? And it's really interesting how we frame stuff like that, because I always ask, because it always is a topic when I'm interviewing women, like, how is being an entrepreneur, how does that affect your relationships with your family and your spouse, right? But I don't know if I would ask that if it was men, but it always comes up with women because we're the emotional laborers typically of the family.
Yeah, absolutely. The yeah. nurturers, the builders, the keep everybody safe and normal-ish.
Right,
kind of people.
Right.
We have that extra responsibility. You know, it's so interesting. As long as I had my corporate career, my husband started his general contracting business back in 2005. And so there was a little entrepreneurship going on in the house already. And I was able to help him with his journey, get him set and all of that. Fast forward, my son is 30, he'll be 31 in a minute. He instantly, he did a couple of, you know, different jobs. He went down the path of acting and just wasn't really his thing at the time. He's like, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to do window washing, pressure washing, and solar panel cleaning. And I thought, okay, well, that sounds great. what's inspiring this? He said, I don't want to sit at a desk all day. I don't want my career and my money in someone else's hands. I want to go build this on my own. And I thought, yeah, I love that. And I think our younger generation, so he's millennial. We always laugh. Right. He's like, I feel like I'm more Gen Z. I'm like, you are literally a millennial. But, you know, being able to, or he says Gen X, sorry, just their ability to realize that they, well, I think they didn't grow up with the same types of parents that we did, where you work, you save for retirement, and you do the next thing, right? You save, save, save. They've learned that there's balance, and you can do what makes you happy, and you can make money at that without guilt. And yes, money is important, but we don't need as many things. And I really love working with people across generations from that aspect, because the excitement and the go, go, go. When we get to our Gen X and our older or younger boomers, I guess we would say, the energy feels a little different. It's a little more uncertain. It's a little bit more, well, that's not what I've been taught, and that's not what I do or I've done. And it just feels so good to help show the light. Like, here's how you can do it. Here's how we make the plan and make it happen. And, you know, to your point with women being the caretakers, that's where we were going with that. You know, we consider family in every decision we make.
Right.
We consider how it's going to impact their lives as well as how it's going to impact our lives. So I'm going to have to look up that interview and kind of get a little bit more on that, because that sounds interesting.
I'll find that and post that. It's fascinating. There was a corporate example where a husband and wife worked at the same place and they traded emails for a week. And the husband would ask people to do stuff and they would ask for a reason why when he had his wife's email.
When
the wife used the husband's email, she'd just say, you need to do this. And they'd say, okay, fine. They were on the same status too. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. But to your point about millennials versus Gen Xers, I think that Gen Xers, you know, one of the benefits of social media, there are many, you know, disadvantages. But one of the benefits of social media, I think, is has really leveled the playing field as far as seeing possibilities. Whereas Gen Xers, we were like, dad goes to work, dad takes care of everything, you know, there was a huge gap in understanding. Even if your parent was an entrepreneur, I think there was a lot more, they kept kids separate from business a lot more than they do now, right? Because everything's a little bit more exposed.
Absolutely. And, you know, Gen X, we were taught, figure it out. Don't ask for help. You know, if it's meant for you, you'll figure it out. And, you know, so that has led to a lot of us not asking for help at the right time, which means our entrepreneurial journeys can be a little bit tougher. We're afraid to fail. We're more afraid of that judgment. And to your point, the exposure then was the exposure to the people in our lives. There was no social media. So at the time, my mom's husband was a truck driver. My mom had worked in the bank as a teller and then started a home daycare. So those were the things that I was exposed to. Oh, I'm supposed to take care of kids. Well, I don't really like other people's kids that much. Do I have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I have never. I'm working in an office. I don't know what that means, but that's where I'm going.
Right.
And we were also told, pick your pony and ride it. So you start this career, this is your career till you die. And you know, some of us jump off that train because we realize, you know what, there's a whole lot more out there. I can do things that I love with less that I don't and be so much happier. So, you know, we're learning a lot from the younger generations, which I do love that, whether they like it or not, I don't know.
They're
or stealing their gigs.
It.
We're coming in for your gigs, kids.
So when people are making this identity shift, and this is something that I'm personally kind of fascinated with, when people are making that identity shift from corporate into being a business owner, how do you help them with, you know, the dreaded imposter syndrome? Because you touched on it a little bit there when you were talking about, you know, your frame of reference.
I would say, well, every client I work with, they are required to do pre-work, which is 50 things they're most proud of. And it's
50?
50.
Wow.
See the look on your face. I know your answer where you might get. Most women on average, when I give that assignment with a good 2 weeks lead time before our first session, 15 to 17 is the average number of things they have on that list. Yeah. We are list checker offers, ladies. That's what we do. So what happens is we just do the thing, check it off, and go do the next thing. And when we stop and we give ourselves permission to have a drink, whether it's tea or wine or whatever, and a quiet space and a notebook, and we start writing those things down, they come in really fast. I mean, think about it. I'm like, I raised another human who's actually a pretty good human. I've rescued dogs. Like, It doesn't have to just be career, but we just do things without thinking about it. So that's really one thing that I have clients do. And with imposter syndrome, when I hear it creeping in, we'll go add more to the list. Sometimes, and I had a client do this not too long ago, I had her read her list into her voice memos app so that she could play it for herself on her way to work every day and kind of remember like, oh yeah, that's it.
That's
put your shoulders back.
Yeah.
Spend your 1 hour this evening working on building your business, but you're walking into corporate, a whole person who contributes a whole lot of things to this world. And it's amazing what that small shift can do. I also like to have people flip the script. So that's what I call it. I may hear a negative comment and we'll switch it around. So I'm trying to think, I made this big mistake, whatever the big mistake was, right? We'll switch it around. Instead of I made this big mistake, I learned this today. I learned that I should have kept up with my taxes better because now it's January 28th and my CPA is about to poke me in the eye. But not I made a mistake and I didn't do something. It's like, what I learned is I need to put this on my calendar a little bit sooner next year. We need to stop beating ourselves up and carrying that guilt and embarrassment and self-judgment because it's not serving us. And once we start clearing those things out and seeing what we really have accomplished, the whole world shifts. That identity shifts. I'd love to say we never slip back into it, but keeping tools and strategies like that handy lets you recognize quickly, I'm spiraling a little bit. Let me pull my list out. Let me add 3 things from this week. Another thing I do, and I do this with friends more than clients, but I'll hear a negative comment. Gain so much weight over the holidays. Oh, look at you. Now I need you to say 5 nice things about yourself. What are 5 things you love about yourself?
It'd be fun at happy hour.
Oh, sometimes I think my friends hate me. Because if they don't get it, and I hear one thing, then we all chip in and we fill in her 5. It's just that, you know, build up. It's like, okay, you gained a couple pounds. We all ate too many cookies and couldn't go outside and play during the holidays. That's all right. You're a good friend. You listen to people. You did this great thing, whatever it is. And just bringing that back and then just watching her face light up when her friends are saying things or even as she's saying those things.
Yeah, I was actually just talking with somebody who brought up a term because there is a lot of, you know, I talk with a lot of people who are like healers or therapists or whatever, and they talk about the energy of your language, which is all well and good. But I was just talking with somebody who talked about sociolinguistics. And
that's a big word.
And it's basically like the language that you hear said to you about yourself, you tend to internalize. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and obviously when you're internalizing that, I think that's where we come up with these dead end, I made a mistake attitudes, you know?
Absolutely. And I think some of it is Gen X programming. You know, when you made a mistake, you were going to be punished or, you know, you didn't get a great grade. There was some kind of a something going on. You were probably going to have to get a tutor and stay inside every Friday and Saturday night for the rest of your life. Ask me how I know. But, you know, those types of things that make it so we're afraid to make a mistake or we're afraid to be seen a certain way. And we got to let that stuff go because it's not helpful. We're all human and we're all growing and evolving every single day. And we don't need to absorb other people's negative language. We put enough of that on ourselves.
Yeah. So when people have kind of wrestled this imposter syndrome into submission, do you find that that improves their ability? I mean, to negotiate? Because so are you only working with people that have left corporate or you work with people who are still in corporate as well? Because you learned along the way how to negotiate, right? So do you think that how would imposter syndrome give you the fortitude to be a little bit, I'm having a terrible time wording this question, but I think you know what I'm asking.
How it maybe gets in your way a little bit of, and how you can work that. Yeah, absolutely. It comes down to knowing your worth. And once you get back to that, so let's say you're 50 things you're most proud of, and then remembering who you are. I cleared out the bad words. Remembering who you are so that when you walk in every day, you are that person. You are the embodiment of that strong woman who deserves her place at the table. And if someone doesn't want to make room for you at that table, great, just make your own table and then choose who gets to sit there with you if that's how it needs to be. But at the end of the day, you know, negotiation, I see it in the coaching space too, where someone will try to get, and it happens to me now and then, a woman will try to get me to lower my rate or, this is all I have. What can we do? That's when I come back to, this is the outcome you're asking me for. This is the outcome I deliver. This is the rate. And I would love to work with you, whether that's an installment process or whatever that looks like. That's that. And it's because I know that what I'm bringing her, she's going to recover that at least tenfold in the next year. It's not a question. There's not a question in my mind. When you're in the corporate space, walking in and knowing this is my worth and I'm going to make sure people know it.
Right.
I coach a lot of leaders on their language because they'll talk a lot about their team. And that's great. Your team's amazing. They do things. They help make you the leader you are, right? My team, my team, my team, my team. It's critical that you take ownership of what you've done to lead that team and drive that team forward. And a lot of women are so modest, they forget that piece. And that's how we keep getting bypassed for promotions. That's how we're sitting there staring at somebody going, they do half of what I do. Well, it's because Right. Nobody knows what you're really doing because you're not taking the time to have conversations and really own your worth. It is the most common question I'm asked is, but doesn't that sound cocky or is that too boastful?
That's what I was thinking in my brain.
Girl, that's my favorite conversation. I'm like, if you don't say it, someone else is. Yeah. And so if it is true, you get to own it and you get to say it. I'm coaching a client right now with interview prep and the tell me about yourself question. We've been really perfecting that because literally that is your mic drop moment. That is the moment you take charge of your interview. That is the moment you stand out. That is literally the first thing out of your face. And her thing was, well, can I say that? I said, I can guarantee you the man that's interviewing right before you is saying that and more. He is taking credit for things he probably hasn't even done because he has no awareness of it. You are an expert at these things. Yes, you can say it. And it'll change your outcome completely. So it's confidence. It's knowing that we don't have to negotiate our worth. And it's knowing that you deserve to be in the right rooms and the right places, having that career or that business that you really want.
Yeah, I think often the self-criticism feeds the imposter syndrome in this kind of vicious circle.
Yeah, it's very true. Self-judgment, me, self-criticism, it is so toxic. And we do it to ourselves all the time. I mean, I woke up this morning with a little, you know, menopause pimple and I was like, oh, for goodness sakes, of all the days. And now you can't unsee it.
I didn't see it.
Totally teasing. But that's the thing, right? It's like, oh, I can't show up or I really need to cover that up. The reality is none of us is perfect. Nobody cares. Most of the time, we're so worried about what someone else might be thinking. It's just a story we're telling ourselves. What other people think about us, it's none of our business. Just frankly, it doesn't matter.
I heard somebody giving a talk and they were talking about this whole, you know, how we get so handicapped by imagining what people think of us. And the person turned to the camera and they go, people are not thinking about you as much as you think they are. And I think that's a huge part of again, like all this self-subvertive behavior. Yeah. We feel like we're on a spotlight.
Absolutely.
And we're shy about being in the spotlight.
Exactly. And even when we are in the spotlight, most of the time people are not paying attention. They're thinking about something else or they're on their phone or whatever. I mean, it's you're there to deliver what you're there to deliver. And that's that. When I help someone prepare for a public speech or for a job interview or whatever that is, I say, well, what if I make a mistake? Nobody knows what you're supposed to say. Nobody knows what's coming out of your pie hole. Yeah. So just say what you need to say. If you make a mistake, just recover, keep smiling and keep talking. Nobody will even know.
That's what we used to say in theater. I used to do improv professionally. Oh. And we would say, if you make a mistake, make it a huge mistake. Because then it looks like you did it on purpose. And people are like, well, that's an interesting choice.
That's genius. I'm right? going big.
Yeah, go big. Go big. Go home or both or neither.
Do all the things.
All the things you want. So when people work with you, you've mentioned that you have a quantifiable result when people do a program with you. How long does your program usually run? Do you do like a group program that lasts a certain amount of time or do you do mainly individual coaching? How do you work with people?
So I mainly work with individuals and that's 4 months. And we are getting them fully set in their foundation for their corporate escape. So their date is circled on their calendar, whatever date that is, we're working backwards to achieve those things. And one of the things I find, and I did this myself, is early on in my journey, I was throwing a lot of money at a lot of things. I didn't really understand the strategy. I thought I needed to be able to sell. Well, if you don't know what you're offering, you don't really know what you're selling, right? So I put the cart before the horse. many, many times. And it was a very expensive journey. And now what we do is spend time making sure that foundation is solid. And then we go into getting them to the spot where they've landed those first clients, usually 1 to 3. And sometimes, bear in mind, most of these women are working full-time jobs. They may not quite be there. So we may extend a little bit just based on timing. But my goal with them is to make sure that they're recovering the cost of our coaching before they're done. And then I also have a community membership. I had a bad day, so I went and created some AI tools. And one of the, because who doesn't do that when they're having a bad day? And
feels productive, so, right?
It was productive.
Yeah.
So the one AI tool I built, it's Biz Builder AI, which has 5 Sherpas built into it. So it's like having access to me, kind of, 24 hours a day as they're building their business. So getting really clear on that foundation. And then we have a community support call once a week where we talk about different topics. We talk about challenges and successes, and the group really just celebrates wins. When people feel that they're at a certain place with that, they can advance into one-on-one coaching. The purpose of the membership is to get some of the basic steps done before they move on. So getting really clear of what that business looks like, what do they want to be doing? And that one is, it's $57 a month. The AI tool alone is worth way more than that. So our members that are in there are loving it right now. So those are 2 ways that people can work with me.
That's great. That's great. Oh. Oh.
We did. You know, the one thing that I just want to make sure that our listeners hear is that it's never too late. It's never too late to start something new. People are shocked when I tell them I just left at 50. They're like, well, did you quit or did you get fired? I'm like, no. Did you get laid off? No. If I had, I'd have had a good plan B. But it just was something in me that said, you know, if you don't go try this, you're not happy at your job. If you don't go try this, you're going to live with regret. And how much longer are you willing to be unhappy every day? Life's just too short. So don't be afraid. Just start small. Start while you still have the corporate paycheck. Start with the right foundation, which means getting your debts paid down, getting a runway account so that you do have money to rely on while you're out and you don't feel that stress and pressure. But I'd say those are the things that are just really important for people to hear. It's just never too late. I know someone that started her business at 60. Totally happy, left and did her own thing. I know women who have been caught by surprise through layoffs and come around and said, I think I want to start this. I have a severance that's going to carry me through the year. Perfect. You've got the starts. You've got financial backing. So it's not going to be scary.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a super important message. It's like having a crappy dinner and just eating all of it, even though you're not enjoying it. You know?
Or a movie. I mean, have you ever watched a movie and you start watching it in the first 10 minutes, you're like, this isn't for me, but I'm going to keep going. And then pretty soon you're 35 minutes, 45 minutes in, you're like, well, you know, it's only got another hour. Stop. Just turn it off. It's okay. You can do something different.
No, I love that. I think that's so important. And I think, again, where women are framed as being less valuable as they get older, when really there's so much more knowledge and so much more expertise, you know, we're ever foxes.
Yes. And so much less drama because we don't really care. Like there's actually a Facebook group, the We Don't Care Club. I'm like, oh yeah, there we are. There's my people.
Yeah.
Because we just are going to go try things. We're not afraid. We've got so many things behind us and so much experience. We can do anything the hard way we like it the easy way, but we can do anything the hard way and learn anything that it takes. So I just say, take that with you and stay strong in doing what you want to do.
Yes. In honor of Tabitha, I think we should all write down 50 things that we've accomplished. I think that's an amazing practice.
Thank you. Yeah, I would love it. And I think my email will be in the show notes. Send me your list. I love lists.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming to talk with us today, Tabitha. That was really fun.
Well, thank you for having me. This is a great conversation, and I loved getting to know you a little bit.
Yeah, same. Thanks for watching today. I'm glad you watched the whole thing. If you could do us a favor, it would help so much if you hit subscribe. It helps give us just a little boost to keep this podcast going. Thank you.